And now, 88.9 WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert, a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, and join the conversation.
Good evening, WDCR listeners from listener-supported radio. This is The Cradle and the Convert, and I am your convert, Mark Barthelemy.
And I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And actually, he's the Fighting Irish Cradle, and I'm the Raging Cajun Convert.
There you go.
There's a little bio for you. We'll talk about that someday. But we're very, very fortunate this evening to have with us Deacon Braden Maher, who is a transitional deacon, and that means that he's headed for priesthood probably in May. And we're going to ask him some questions. A lot of our listeners may know what a deacon is and what sacraments a deacon can perform and what they can't, and how do they get to be a deacon. But we also have a lot of people curious about our faith that we find out that are listening, or they're married to a Catholic.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are two kinds of deacons. There's the transitional type, like Deacon Braden is, that's going to become a priest. And then there's the permanent deacons that are ordained as a deacon with no intention of going on and being a priest. In fact, I went to several sessions over in Springfield and looked into the diaconate myself, and discerned that for a short time, and probably felt I'd be better off serving Mass in the role of an altar boy than as a deacon. So I did look into it. It was really interesting, and it's so good to have someone here in studio that's going through this process, becoming a priest. I think the numbers are up in the diocese. I know the seminaries are filling up. And that's a great thing. So why don't we get the deacon to tell us a little bit about himself and see what he's got to say.
Well, first of all, I want to know why you decided deaconate wasn't for you. I mean, could you not drink or something? I mean, being Irish, that probably would have just shut you down right there. Huh?
Well, that might have been something to do with it. You know, there is a form of discernment where you really have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making a huge commitment, you know. You're taking holy orders.
Right.
And it just didn't I didn't fit the diaconate.
Okay.
You know, I fit the role of server, and I'm extremely pressed to be an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. I'm not really worthy to even do that, but I take that role on, and I can do more in my parish in the roles I play. And if you become a deacon, you know, you can be assigned by the bishop anywhere in the diocese.
Yeah. Well, see, there you go, listeners. The cop's always got a big line of something to spew out. I don't know if that's the truth or not, but if he had asked me that question, I would have said I need to talk to my attorney before I talk to anybody, tell anybody anything. So, Deacon Braden, welcome again.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm very pleased to be with you here
and,
this evening.
But tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you originally from? Tell us about your upbringing.
I am actually originally from the Diocese of Peoria, if you'll believe that.
Wow.
I was born in Kewaunee, Illinois, up there in the Diocese of Peoria. And I spent my first 5 years living up there with my family. So when I came to Springfield Diocese, we moved to Vandalia when I was about 5 years old, just in time for me to start kindergarten. So, yes, that's where we originated from. And so I spent, well, most of my life there in Vandalia when I came to the diocese.
Now, was that Catholic school? Or?
See, I began my schooling, and up until sophomore year of high school, I was in that public school there in Vandalia.
Oh, okay.
So sophomore year of high school, I made the decision to transfer to St. Anthony High School over in Effingham. And that's where my Catholic education began.
Okay. Now, were you a cradle then?
See, that's the interesting question, is that when people ask me, I say I'm a bit of both, because I was baptized as an infant. This was back up in the Peoria Diocese. And when baptized as an infant, and as I said, and then my family, like so many families, unfortunately, kind of fell away from the practice of the faith.
Okay.
And so I did not receive any subsequent sacraments.
Okay.
Until I was, so to speak, reacquainted with my Catholic faith there at the high school at St. Anthony. And then received those sacraments that I went without throughout my childhood. So I was confirmed and received the Eucharist and was kind of brought back into full practice of the faith. So I have, in my own unique story, I have elements of both. But technically, I mean, if we're going to go by the letter of the law, I was a cradle Catholic. But also have had the experience of also being a convert insofar as having to become familiar with a faith that I was never really familiar in the past. So I do have elements of both.
Sounds like you got a little politician. You just split that baby perfectly down the middle. You wouldn't take sides between either one of us.
Yeah, well, it kind of a revert, you know?
Yeah. Revert is a term that I have used in the past as well, yeah. And
now, how far from Vandalia to Effingham did you have to go to school every day?
It was about 30 miles between the two, and the way it worked out, I would travel in a group, kind of like a caravan of people, we had people from Brownstown as well as St. Elmo, who also attended St. Anthony's High School, and we would travel together for that first semester until I started becoming more involved with activities after school, and so I found the need to actually stay in Effingham throughout the week. And the way things worked out, I spoke to the pastor at that time, Monsignor Enloe, Leo Enloe, and he directed me to a woman named Clara Tees. Now, I will always have a special place in my heart for Clara. She was a widow who lived in Effingham immediately between the church and the school, So which was the perfect situation for me. She had been a widow for many years, decades by that point, and living in this great big house all by herself, she decided that she needed to open her home to those who needed a place to stay. And so for many years, she welcomed people into her home, and eventually she had over 100 people stay with her in her home over the years for whatever need. Just the time previous to my staying with her, she had two people from Russia, as well as a doctor from Egypt staying with her. Really a remarkable
That's
woman.
Incredible.
Yeah, and a
yeah,
true...
Sounds like an exchange student program. You've got all these different people and
a saint running the house.
Oh, yeah, man. Sounds
she
like
truly
it.
Was. She was a true gem. And, you know, I as it turns out, I had the privilege of being the last person to stay with her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that was a perfect situation that worked out for me, and it was because of her generosity and her hospitality that I was able to stay those last 2.5 years of my high school experience with her.
Well, then what began to point you towards priesthood or towards that vocation in particular?
I can honestly say that I owe so much of my vocational discernment to my time there at St. Anthony's High School, and particularly the people there at the high school, namely the priests, Father Darren and Father Leo, were very encouraging to me, and I will always be grateful to them and to certainly the teachers there at St. Anthony's High School. And I owe so much of my discernment to that place, and so they helped me, as I mentioned before, to kind of rediscover or reacquaint myself with the practice of the faith, and they were instrumental in proposing the idea of a vocation and asking me if I'd ever considered the priesthood. Up until that point, I never had. So they are the principal kind of movers or the instigators, to use a lack of a better word, for my discernment. So,
well, then, how long was it before you were really certain?
Well, it was that second year of high school, so sophomore year, that the idea was planted in my mind of at least going to seminary to, so to speak, give it a shot.
Okay.
Certainty, that's always a difficult question when it comes to discerning vocation. But I can't say that my mind was made up the very next year to go to seminary.
Okay.
The idea was proposed that first year at St. Anthony's, but then by the next year, at junior year, I was all in to going to seminary.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
But still not certain.
Well, right, yes. The question of certainty, you know, the whole time in seminary is a process of, well, obviously they call it discerning, whether or not this is truly what God is intending for you to do, calling you to do. And so that whole time is really a period of asking questions and considering you know, whether this is truly, truly the calling, truly the thing that God desires for me to do, and the way in which He is asking me to give my life to Him and to the service of God's people. So, you know, certainty comes in stages. I wouldn't say that,
like receiving the Holy Spirit.
Well, yes. I mean, we always do have to be open to the working of the Holy Spirit, and you know, I will say that, you know, certainty certainly comes in stages, mm-hmm. and it's a gradual process in discerning a life of service to the church.
Now, so, I'm just curious: did you at any point in your life imagine yourself having a family and being married and a dog and a house and kids and all that stuff? Did you ever have those kind of aspirations?
Well, certainly. I mean, as every young person does, they
sure.
You know, come
fantasize
in,
about the future. Sure.
Yeah, thinking about the future and preparing for the future and. You know, having had the experience of my own family, wanting that for myself.
Sure.
I mean,
exactly.
With me, you know, sophomore year is, and thinking back, that was kind of an early time for me to have kind of made the decision that I did. And so, I mean, naturally before then, I was thinking about family and kind of the route that my life would take beyond high
sure.
school. And so, Much of that preparation and planning and was really taken care of when I made that decision to go to seminary. So, I mean, for the time being, when I made that decision to go to seminary, my life was really, and its trajectory was really put in place, at least for the duration that I was going to be in the seminary.
Right.
And in my case, I stayed in, and my life has taken on a very certain trajectory that has taking the form of holy orders as a deacon. So.
Well, we know where you've been, and here in a minute we're going to find out where you're at and where you're going. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Okay, great website, CatholicsComeHome.org. We're back with Deacon Braden Maher, who is spending his summer with the folks down at Holy Family Parish here in Decatur, Illinois. And we're going to find out what he's going to be up to this summer and where he's headed. Deacon, down at Holy Family, doing some preaching. From what I understand, you are quite a homilist. I'm happy to hear that. That's what the church needs, some great homilists. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're at in the seminary and where the seminary you're attending is?
Yes. So these past 7 years have been my experience of seminary, including three different seminaries. My first 2 years spent at Conception Seminary College up in Northwest Missouri. Then 2 years in Indianapolis at Bishop Brute College Seminary, receiving my undergraduate degree there. And then these final 3 years have been spent at St. Meinrad Archabbey and Seminary in southern Indiana, which is a Benedictine Archabbey monastery, mm-hmm. where the monks operate a seminary. And so my day-to-day experience is living and working and studying and praying with the monks there at St. Meinrad.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm looking forward to my fourth year there and my final year in the seminary.
Now, how many people would you say, Deacon, go into the seminary and don't decide to become priests?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've looked at statistics like those in the past, and the statistics are different for college seminary as they are for major seminary. Many more men give college seminary a shot, but in the end do discern God is calling them to something else in their mm-hmm. life. So I will say this, the further along you are in the seminary, the greater your chances of continuing.
Okay.
So to give you a number, I would say maybe about half of the men who mm-hmm. who enter into major seminary those last 4 years are those who go on to holy orders. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now as you become ordained, will you be then a Benedictine because you've been with the Benedictines, or will you be a diocesan priest? How does that work?
That's a good question, and it's a very simple answer, is that I've been studying for the diocese this whole time, the Diocese of Springfield, so I've now been kind of hitched, so to speak, to the diocese as of becoming
ring,
a deacon.
Huh?
And, well, yes, having made promises, yes, to the
sure,
bishop and
sure.
Obedience and respect to him, so... At this point, I'm looking at spending the rest of my life in the Diocese of Springfield.
Excellent.
As a diocesan priest.
Now, how does that work financially? Do they pay your way once you have committed yourself? And in the event you don't go, then do you reimburse, or how does that work?
For undergraduate studying college, I was responsible for tuition.
Okay.
And the diocese is gracious in providing for room and board there at the seminary. But the tuition is my responsibility and has been for undergraduate. And so when you enter into major seminary, the diocese is able to provide everything for both room and board as well as tuition. In a wonderful way, they provide for us and allow us to discern and to study.
Now, your understudy degree, your undergraduate degree is in... philosophy or?
Yes, philosophy.
Philosophy. Mm-hmm. And that's your four-year bachelor's degree. When you become a priest, will you have a master's degree or a doctor, doctor father? Or
at the end of my time at St. Meinrad, they bestow the degree of master's degree, master's of divinity, okay. essentially theological studies. Yes.
Okay. So you, besides deacon, you have the title reverend, correct?
Both transitional and permanent deacons, yes, Reverend Mister is the official form of address. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what sacraments by church law do you have, or procedure do you have authority to perform as
yes.
a deacon?
Yes, deacons celebrate sacraments, marriage, so they can witness marriages and preside at weddings, as well as
baptisms.
Yes, trying to think here. Baptisms, as well as...
last rites.
Funerals. Which wouldn't be considered a sacrament. So in the end, marriage and baptism okay. are the two sacraments that deacons can preside over. Yes.
So if a deacon ever wants to ask, wants to take my confession... I should smell something rotten there, huh? Okay. So then how long will you be at Holy Family with us? Throughout the entire year until May?
I've been assigned to Holy Family for the summer. So
oh, okay.
spending 10 weeks as sort of an internship is a way to look at it. 10 weeks here at Holy Family. So by mid-August, I will return to St. Meinrad to begin my last year.
Oh, okay. And then will you be back occasionally, do you think?
Oh, yes. And technically, I just had a conversation with my vocation director, Father Brian Alford of the diocese, that I should consider Holy Family to be my assignment for the entire year.
Wow.
So I guess technically I am assigned for the whole year. However, getting back to the parish is a challenge from coming from the seminary due to distance and responsibilities
yeah,
at the seminary,
imagine.
As well as I do have an assignment back down at St. Meinrad.
Oh, okay.
St. Ferdinand Parish that's very close to the seminary.
I see.
I am expected and I have responsibilities there at the parish as well.
So basically you're two-timing-ness is what I'm hearing.
Essentially is what it comes down to, yes.
Yeah.
But it is my hope that I will be able to get back occasionally to Holy Family to be here. And certainly over breaks, so
sure.
At Easter and Christmas, I'll be around.
Well, you know, Father Adam Pritchard, who was just ordained in May, served at St. James and Patrick for the past year and would come down on weekends when he could and do his homilies
right.
And participate in the Mass and visit the hospitals. So it's kind of nice having some extra help around the parish.
It is kind of remind you of the good old days when there were a couple of priests around, you know, at every parish.
Well, maybe we'll get back to that someday.
Boy,
like
I
said,
hope
the
so.
Numbers are increasing in the seminary. So,
and you'll be assigned somewhere once you're ordained within the Springfield Diocese.
Yes. So my next assignment would be beginning July 1st of next year.
Okay.
Wherever that may be.
All right. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. It would be nice, I would assume, to be somewhere near Effingham or Vandalia.
Well, we have the benefit, you know, the diocese isn't too big, so wherever they find a spot for me to be, I will never be too far away from home, so,
well,
which is a great relief to my
terrific.
Mother.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Cradle, do you have anything else?
Well, I kind of wondered how important, I mean, do you get sometimes lukewarm in prayer like most of us do? I mean, someone that has a calling like that, I would think would have a much deeper prayer life than the average lay person.
Yeah, mine may not wander.
Yeah.
For instance, you know, when you're praying the rosary.
Yeah. So as a deacon that's already received some holy orders, mm-hmm. talk to us a little bit about prayer.
Prayer is a skill. Mm. And like any skill, it requires practice and it requires discipline. So mm-hmm. Much of prayer is just being determined in continuing to practice prayer. The skill of prayer. And with any skill, it does become easier with greater practice and with greater diligence. So, but I will say that, I mean, prayer, a man in holy orders, deacon, priest, bishop, prayer, they must be men of prayer. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely essential. I mean, that is the reason why they do what they do and why they are who they are. It's a part of who they are.
Are deacons obligated as our priests to follow the liturgy of the hours?
Yes, deacons do take a promise or do make a promise to the bishop to faithfully pray the liturgy of the hours.
Office,
yes,
yeah,
the office,
yeah.
Divine office.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. Well, Deacon, we appreciate you being with us today and taking the time out of your schedule. I know you go from one thing to another. You know, this isn't a summer break for you. It's a working break, that's for sure.
That's true, that's true.
And a learning break, but we are absolutely delighted to have had you as a guest on this show, and I think your presentation today is going to be extremely informative and valuable to our listeners, and even some younger folks who may catch it, or parents that know that their child's considering maybe a life and in the priesthood, and this should be great information for them. We're also delighted, I'll speak on behalf of Holy Family, to have you with us. You are... we love Father Joe to death. We don't want to trade him for anything, but we're opening arms to greet you and welcome you to the parish, and we hope maybe you find your way back after your summer's over.
Well, that would be great. Thank you.
All right.
Well, you know, I got one more thing I want to ask.
Oh, okay.
I picked it out while he was talking about seeing someone at church or in school that you think might make a good priest or deacon, and talk to them, ask them about it, kind of, you know, have you ever considered maybe you have a calling, and I think you spoke to that your sophomore year, that you were kind of directed that way. There are people, there are boys and girls, young men and ladies that are going to have a vocation, and maybe it just takes someone to nudge that individual and encourage them in the right direction.
Open their ears and their mind.
That's right.
To God's
message. We've always said if you can crack that door open just a little bit, the Holy Spirit can slip right through there.
Absolutely.
And and your story is excellent, that someone actually kind of directed you in that way. So to our listeners, we need to make sure that they understand that there's an ability to tap a child or someone on the shoulder and say, hey, have you ever really considered a vocation?
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? That just about does it for this episode of The Cradle and the Convert. We hope that you enjoyed our visit tonight with Deacon Braden Marr, and we hope you'll join us again next week on the show. We're going to wrap up the prayer. The three of us are going to pray the prayer to St. Francis. Deacon, would you lead us?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord, make me an instrument of your peace.
Where there is hatred, let me sow love.
Where there is injury, pardon.
Where there is doubt, faith.
Where there is despair, hope.
Where there is darkness, light.
Where there is sadness, joy.
O divine Master,
Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, that's a wrap, boys and girls. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see you next Tuesday here, right here on 88.9, listener-supported WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio. For me, Dave Slade, the Cradle.
And Mark Barthelemy, the Convert.
We say good night.
Good night, Joe. Love is but a song.